Hello and welcome to your free therapy session. My name is Holly.
My name is Violet, and this is Therapy Hour.
Because everyone needs therapy.
But not everyone can afford it.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam peoples.
Before we dive into our episode, we wanted to give a huge thank you to everyone who generously donated to Therapy Hour for our episode 2 weeks ago for Fun Drive. It really meant so much to us, and especially as a relatively new show to CITR, it was really sweet that we got so much support. How much did we end up raising, Holly?
We raised a total of $497.80.
Yay! Woo! I would say that's so successful.
That's really successful.
So much more than I think either of us could have anticipated.
I thought we'd get like $20.
That was generous. Yeah, but that was really sweet, and we wanted to thank you all so much.
Big thank you.
And even if you didn't donate, but you just supported us by listening to us, we appreciate you just as much, and we love you very much.
And if you also want to support us non-financially, you can go to our podcast on Spotify and you can rate us a big ol' 5 stars.
Yeah, I mean, only if you feel like it.
Well,
even if you don't.
I would feel really upset if someone went all the way there to give us 3 stars.
You know, I want those honest ratings.
Okay. I'd rather people lie.
Yeah, but with all of that being said, let's get into this week's episode, which, following up from Valentine's Day a little bit, but we'll be getting into all sorts of facets of this, we're going to be talking about rejection.
Yeah, so I feel like most people have felt rejection before, whether it's from someone you're romantically interested in, from a friend, to even a job. So Violet, do you want to tell us a time that you were rejected?
Yeah, let's dive right into it. This is awesome. I love thinking about this.
It makes me feel so good.
Yeah, I think when I think about rejection, a lot of times I think immediately about romantic rejection. Mm-hmm. But then I was kind of broadening it out in my head a little bit and thinking about all the different types of rejection that there are. And I realized when trying to come up with an example of a time that I've been rejected is that I really try to kind of like suppress those memories almost in a way. Like, it's not comfortable and I don't like thinking back to times when I've been rejected, but I certainly have faced rejection. And one that happened to me not too long ago that was absolutely devastating, not gonna lie, was this current school year. I was thinking about running to be student exec vice president here at CITR. I'd been on student exec before, and then I'd taken a year off during the pandemic, and I decided I wanted to get back into it. School was supposed to be in person. Being on student exec at CITR was really exciting. And before the pandemic had happened, I was supposed to run for VP, but I never ended up doing it because pandemic. And then I started going around, and you have to ask people to sign your nomination form. Mm-hmm. And then I asked someone, and she pretty much told me that even though you technically get voted into the position, she was like, well, I was on exec this past year, and I pretty much have the position already.
Oh, no.
And I had some friends who I had reached out to, like who I'd been on exec with previously, to sign my form, and I let them know what was kind of going on, and they still encouraged me to run, but I already just felt so defeated. Right. And it was honestly crushing. Like, it really was. I stayed up all night sobbing. Like, it was really upsetting. And that's definitely one of the hardest. Even it was kind of like a weird sense of rejection, because it wasn't like someone was saying no blatantly, but I was kind of getting rejected from this position that I'd really like built up in my head of like, I can picture myself in this position. This is what it's going to be like, you know, whatever. And things played out the way they did. I was still able to be on exec in a different position as spoken word student exec, but it was so hard to deal with at the time.
I remember you being really upset when that happened. And, you know, like, even when it's not just like a blatant rejection to you, or you've applied for something and someone's like, no, like, this resume, like, isn't going, like, you're not going to be a good fit. It's still, when you have it all in your head, you're like, this is going to be perfect. This is exactly what I want. Like, and of course, like, I know all these people. I've been on exec before. Like, this will work out exactly the way I want it to. And then something comes up and something, like, taints that, you know, classic trajectory you've already built in your head. That's so rough. It's just, like, such a hit to, like, what you were thinking of, like, I know where my route is going to go. And now it has to, now I have to think differently. I have to think about something else.
Yeah. And it's the sense of, like, putting yourself out there in a way. I think that's a lot of what makes rejection so terrifying, is you have to make yourself vulnerable to these things. Like, me going around and asking for people to sign my nomination form was me putting it out there, like, oh, I'm trying to get this position. And even though I didn't end up officially running, like, people knew. And then it just comes with embarrassment and disappointment and all those fun feelings.
Well, I feel like with rejection, like, part of it, when it's related back to you, it's a bit of a hit to the self and your sense of self. But then also, we've talked about this, it just comes with this insane amount of embarrassment where, like, it's so unfounded as well, because most of your friends will never look at you and be like, oh, she didn't get this, like, she's not a hard worker or whatever. Usually they feel for you and they want to be there for you or want to help you. But there's just this, like, ever-present idea that everyone knows now, and I'm so embarrassed and I can't believe that this is happening to me.
And that's the thing. And, like, I think embarrassment is one of the scariest feelings to feel, and it can really deter you from doing certain things to just avoid that embarrassment altogether, which can be really upsetting, because you have to put yourself out there. You have to be vulnerable to get certain things that you want to get. You have to try, and you have to risk feeling embarrassed. It's not necessarily inherently embarrassing, but you are risking putting yourself in that position, and that's just, oh, it's a horrible feeling.
It's being vulnerable. Yeah. It's the worst. It can be the best thing that you can do for yourself, but it can also be the worst.
Well, I don't know if it can be the worst, but it can feel like it's been the worst.
I feel like it could be the worst.
Why?
I've definitely felt like being vulnerable can be very difficult to deal with, because that's, like, that's what fear of being vulnerable is. It stemmed from this idea that, like, you've now just, like, been vulnerable and you've put yourself out there and have been, like, shot down from it. The vulnerability part maybe is not the worst. It's, like, it's the reaction that you get from
the
it
feeling.
That can build it up. Then you can build it up in your head that you no longer want to, like, put yourself out there.
Oh, I mean, yeah, obviously I agree with that. I would say, like, being vulnerable is usually a good thing. It's just, like, I understand where the fear comes from, because obviously it opens you up to a lot of things that you wouldn't otherwise be if you were protecting yourself a little bit more from that vulnerability.
Right.
But was there a time that you got rejected that has really stuck with you?
Yeah, so I've only been rejected once. No, I've been rejected so many times. It's a feeling I know very well. We talked about this episode and how we didn't only want this episode to be about romantic rejection, and, you know, we'll get into that, and I've definitely had romantic rejection too. But the first thing that I thought about when thinking about rejection was being rejected from a friend group. And growing up and being in high school, I remember feeling that a lot, and that really sticking with me throughout my early years of university. I was always so scared to put myself out there because I had been rejected from social groups beforehand. So my one story that I have is, I remember in the beginning of high school, there was this group of girls that I really, really wanted to be friends with. They were quote unquote the popular girls, even though my school technically didn't have that. But it was the group that a lot of people wanted to be a part of. And I knew some of those girls in that friend group. So I remember starting in freshman year, I was like, I'm going to really put myself out there. I'm going to go and sit with them, and I'm going to eat lunch with them, and I'm going to, you know, make this relationship work. I'm going to really put myself out there. So I did. I would go and sit with them at lunch. We did, like, a whole like, talent show routine together. I was in classes with a bunch of them. We would study and everything.
And so you, like, felt like you were friends with these people?
Yes. I also felt that there was a bit of a disconnect sometimes. Okay. I would always hear about things that they would be talking about and I wouldn't really know about. But again, I just thought that this was a part of the process. Right. I just need to get myself out there. And then I remember one night, because I very rarely went out in high school. I was almost never invited to parties and whatnot. So I remember going on, I was in bed at like on Friday or Saturday night, and I went on my phone and I started seeing all these Instagram pictures pop up of this like group of people that were all hanging out together that seemed to be these people that were my friends.
Right.
So I was like, oh, like they're hanging out without me and that's really hard. And I was already getting a little bit upset, but this had kind of happened before where they would hang out without me. But then I remember seeing one picture specifically that I realized whose house they were at, and they were at like one of my best friend's houses.
No.
And I just remember feeling crushed, like just sitting in my bed crying. And I was like, what is wrong with me? Like, why don't these people want to be friends with me?
Yeah.
I couldn't figure it out. Like, it genuinely would weigh on my brain so often, just being like, why don't these people want to be friends with me? What am I doing wrong? Am I weird? Do I not dress nice enough? All these, you know, you can make up a million things, but that really stuck with me. And throughout high school, I always felt quite rejected from social groups. And I remember coming into university and still really struggling with this idea of how do I balance, you know, wanting to be a part of a friend group and putting myself out there, but then also somewhat being rejected by people. But I think once I came to university, I didn't feel the same, which was good. But it was it was crushing. I was really sad.
Yeah, social rejection, not fun, not a good feeling. And it's exactly what you were explaining there. If you start to rack your brain of, what am I doing wrong? What's wrong with me? And sometimes it's nothing you could change would change the circumstances. Because at the end of the day, like, there are two parties involved in rejection. And you, as the person being rejected, really can't do anything to change the other person's mind. And sometimes you shouldn't.
No.
And also, I think that sometimes rejection happens for good reason. Like, it doesn't feel like it in the moment. But in hindsight, you wouldn't want to be with someone who doesn't want to be with you. Or you don't want to be at a job that you're not actually, like, qualified for and you're going to really be drowning in. Or, like, you don't want to be in this friend group of mean people who aren't going to be nice to you.
Exactly. And it's so hard because you only realize, at least I felt this way, I only realized going down the line a little bit. I think back to that moment. I think back to 14-year-old Holly just being so sad.
Mm-hmm.
But then thinking about it, because now I know who these people are and I'm obviously now 23 and I can just see, like, you weren't going to have a fun time anyways. Mm-hmm. These people wouldn't have given you the fulfillment in your friendship that you probably would have wanted.
Right.
And then I ended up, you know, kind of turning and finding another friend group because of that rejection. And I'm still friends with some of those people.
Yeah.
And that in and of itself, like, that mean to me now, I'm like, oh, these were the people that wanted me and wanted to be my friend. And so it makes sense. Rejection, sometimes it's always going to be hard, but sometimes it can come from a better place than you may think it.
Yeah, in the long run, things sometimes work out the way that they do.
Yeah.
And it's for the best. But I think that as much as we've both experienced being rejected, I think we both experienced rejecting others as well. So it's interesting to see both sides of the story there. Can you think of a time when you rejected someone and what that felt like?
I think that the first thing that comes to my head was that I had a friend of mine that started expressing some romantic feelings for me, and it would happen in very interesting times.
Like,
it would be kind of out of the blue, or there would be these, like, kind of underground signals, because it was never, this person never came to me and said, I'm into you, I like you, which almost made it more difficult to deal with, because I don't think I'm stupid. I think I can kind of understand when someone is having feelings for me, especially with their actions and some of the things that they may do. So I felt like every time that we would hang out, I was just so, like, turning my body away and just trying to be, like, friend, 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 calling them bro and like
buddy
and be like, oh, you're such an amazing friend. Yeah. I love being your friend. Yeah. so much. So it was hard, and it was kind of like a long-lasting thing that I remember talking to you a lot about, of just being like, how do I deal with this? And we were kind of going back and forth of, do I just say something? Do I just bring it up to them to say, hey, I've been getting some feelings that you may be into me, and I just think we should talk about it. I always chickened out because I was always too scared. And then it also was that the times in which I wanted to bring it up, I think that they may have known that I was going to bring it up and would just try to like avert the situation. So I'd come over to hang out, and then they would be like, oh, let's go and hang out with all these other people. Right. Or like, oh, I'm busy all these days. And it would just fizzle out to the point that it didn't really make sense.
Yeah, it's hard to know what to do when someone's not being super direct and asking you like, hey, do you want to go out or something like that, where you can give this very straightforward answer. Because I think that there's a fear of coming to this person being like, hey, I have been getting a sense from you that you might be interested, and I just wanted to let you know that I just, you know, value you as a friend, don't want anything more, something along those lines.
Right.
But you run the risk of that person becoming defensive and being like, oh, how dare you? I was never interested in you.
Yeah.
And kind of throwing it back in your face in this way of like embarrassment, or like trying to avoid embarrassment or something. And you just don't want to put yourself in that position.
No. Confrontation, as we know, is a very difficult thing to deal with, especially when it comes to romantic feelings for someone. I think that the issue in that sense, in this particular situation, was that I didn't feel like I could bring it up directly. And it also felt like it stunted our friendship a little bit, because I felt like I didn't go over every single time they invited me. So like, if they had invited me to come over and make food, like make dinner at their house late at night, in the back of my head, I was like, I don't want them to get the wrong idea, so I'm just going to say no.
Yeah.
And then sometimes we would have these like very emotional conversations, and I'd really want to be there in the ways that I am for my friends, but I'd be afraid that it would be coming off in a way that would be, I don't know, leading them on. And I think that there's a whole other realm of things we can talk about when it comes to male and female relationships, and how women and femmes are able to give this like emotional connection, and sometimes cis men take that and think that it's something else. But either way, it just complicates that dynamic, and it really felt at certain points that it was stunting where that relationship could go.
Mm-hmm.
Now I feel a little bit more like established in that relationship, and I don't feel as if there's any, or hopefully no, romantic feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like we've been able to progress. But also, in the perfect setting, I wish that they would have said something so that we could have had a conversation about it. And yes, it would have been weird for a little bit. It would have been odd that this thing was just out there. But it would have been hopefully a couple weeks, and then we could just move past it.
Right.
And then hopefully you can just be jokey about it later on.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, I wanted to be that person's friend. I didn't care if they were romantically interested in me or not. Like, I was willing to overcome that so that I could continue to be their friend.
Yeah, I've been in that position a few times as well, where I'm sensing romantic feelings from a friend. And it is difficult in the way that you were saying of, I just want to engage with that person authentically as a friend, in the same way that I would with any other friend. But sometimes the line between like flirting and friendship can really be blurred, especially if you're looking at it from this angle of being into that person. You're going to take those cues and interpret them the way that you want to.
Mm-hmm.
And so you do have to reel things in a little bit more, which is such a shame, because if you're being that person's friend, you're spending time with them, it's because you enjoy them and you like them and you want to be your full self and you don't want to hold anything back. But when you're picking up on those cues, sometimes you have to navigate that in a certain way, and that's really a shame. And then I think my other fear that comes up in those circumstances is, what if this person, like, what if I do reject this person and then they were only being nice to me, they were only being my friend because they were interested in me, and now everything changes once I reject them?
I know. I have very luckily not experienced that before, but I've heard a lot of people that have experienced that, and that's a really big fear.
Yeah.
I just think that if anyone's going to take anything away from this conversation is to really think, if you do have feelings for a friend, think really critically about how important this friendship is to you. Mm-hmm. Because I will say that from being the person that has friend-zoned or like rejected someone else, it's somewhat helped me in when I think about putting myself out there, mm-hmm. and possibly admitting that I have feelings for someone. Because not to say that I do it very often, I don't, but I do. I am able to conceptualize it further to think, oh, well, I've done this before and I've technically rejected someone and we're still friends because mm-hmm. I still wanted to be their friend. And yeah, maybe it was a little weird sometimes and maybe I had to go and talk about it with my friends. Ultimately, I cared for that person. Mm-hmm. So in my head now, I've been trying to navigate that to be like, if I want to go and, you know, ask someone that I know out or go for someone that might be also a friend of mine, in the back of my head, I think, okay, well, if this doesn't work out, it's going to be a little weird and it's going to be a little rocky, but ultimately if this person's willing to stick around and still be my friend, it'll be fine.
Yeah. Well, I had a very similar experience to what you're describing, but kind of from the other side of things and more in line with like job opportunities. Yeah. Because I was on this hiring committee back in September, just hiring for this position at CITR. And it gave me so much insight into what's happening on the other side of things when I'm applying for positions. Mm-hmm. I realized it's really not that personal. And also, if you're making the shortlist, if you even get an interview, they do see you as a strong candidate. And just because you don't get a job or a position doesn't mean that you weren't a strong candidate. Like, right. It's difficult and you're competing against other people. And again, it's really not personal. And I know in our rejection letter that we sent out, we kind of encouraged people to still get involved either way and to even consider reapplying. There were a lot of like young students who applied who I think in a year or two like might be super qualified for that job. And that rejection letter was extremely authentic. Like we actually right. wanted those people to do that. But I know the feeling of being on the other side where they're saying, please consider like reapplying or applying to another position or something like that. And I'm like, they don't want me to do that. No. They're just trying to be nice. And also I'm feeling a bit bitter and I'm like, I don't want to reapply. I don't want to have anything to do with this organization that just rejected me. I'm, you know, trying to distance myself from them. And it was really good perspective to have of saying, okay, just because it feels bad doesn't mean what they're saying is inauthentic or that I should give up.
Right.
And so that was like a really, yeah, just a really important way for me to like see the other side of things and see that other perspective and yeah. have that to think about moving forward.
Yeah, because I haven't had an experience like this, but I remember a friend of mine telling me that she had applied to this job once and they had rejected her even though she had like all these connections or whatever, and she was so dedicated to get the job that she just kept reapplying. I think she said she reapplied twice mm-hmm. and then on the third time they accepted her mm-hmm. and I remember hearing that and being like, I would have never done that, because I've been rejected from jobs and I have not reapplied to them later. And obviously I have applied to different types of jobs and different parts of my career and for different reasons. But it is something that I've been trying to really think about, especially when you've talked about it, being like, I should really consider this rejection letter as just being like, we liked you. Yeah. Like, you got this far. Mm-hmm. We enjoyed what we heard from you and we want you to reapply again. Right. It's just right now we have someone that's going to fit this job better. So, but it's really hard because you put in all this effort, and I mean, I find interviews and applying to jobs really stressful. So like to put up all this work and all this like emotional and just, I don't know, like physical and mental work as well mm-hmm. to apply for this job and really get your heart set on it and then have that be crushed. It's really hard to then just go back and be like, one more time.
Yeah, I completely understand and have 100% been in that position of just being like, no, why would I reapply to this? But again, seeing the other side, I'm like, okay, maybe I actually would consider reapplying to something moving forward if I really wanted to. And like even maybe asking that employer like what they were looking for that I kind of didn't bring to the table, and having a chance to kind of improve and work on that. But we're going to take a quick break for our song segment. We'll hear Brittle by Char Chris, which is all about the rejection you feel after a relationship ends.
And when we come back, we're going to be talking a little bit about why neurologically rejection is so painful.
If I'm so great, then why don't you love me? If I'm so cool, then why aren't you here? On the phone for a tragic 15 minutes, I say it's okay as I'm holding in my tears. I've cried alone 3 days in a row now, waiting for you to come over, but I still wanted you somehow. I didn't know there'd be a last time I would hold you. I wish I didn't let go, but I guess someday I'd have to. I don't hate you, but you killed me a little. I'm too easy to break, I'm so brittle, baby. I miss calling you baby. If I'm so cute, then why won't you look at me? If I'm so sweet, then why'd you disappear? All I wanted was everything to work out. But now I'm seeing clear. I don't hate you, but you killed me a little. I'm too easy to break, I'm so brittle, baby. I miss calling you baby. Wish you the best, I'll always miss you a little. Take care of yourself and I'll try not to be brittle, baby. I'll miss calling you baby.
The haunting debut album Black Moon by Civic TV provides a cinematic backdrop, a modern-day symphony of the dark and light that is our collective reality. Take a listen to Black Moon, now available via Flemish Eye Records and on all streaming platforms.
And we're back. You're listening to Therapy Hour on CITR 101.9 FM. We're talking about rejection. So what were you able to find on what's going on in our brains when we experience rejection?
So I was really excited to do this episode because I remember being in a class when I learned about what rejection does to your brain, and it blew my mind. Because we talk a lot about how rejection, we relate a lot to pain. Mm-hmm. I think people always talk about like, oh, this hurts so bad.
Yeah.
Talk about a broken heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because rejection is technically pain to your brain, which is kind of cool. So the part of your brain that is most activated during rejection are two parts of your brain called the dorsal anterior cingulate cortex and the anterior insula.
Mm.
Those words are not important, but they're just, I like to do to say them because it makes me sound very smart. But pretty much these parts of your brain that are activated are also activated when you feel physical pain.
Oh, wow.
Which is so, so interesting because that, it makes so much sense as to why you are feeling such a heavy amount of pain. And then also this, at least for me, a big desire for the pain to stop.
Mm.
Because I find that, you know, when I have cramps or like I get like a, like I stub my toe or something like that, there's this like feeling in my brain that I'm just like, oh, I really want this pain to just stop. Like,
yeah.
It hurts really badly. It's excruciating. Mm. Like, when is this going to end? But I also feel that way when I've been rejected.
Yeah.
I have this really, really intense memory of waking up after a very bad breakup and just waking up and immediately feeling so much emotional pain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because these two parts of your brain are activated at in the same ways in which you would they would be activated if you had physical pain.
Okay.
So the very cool thing about this, and I love to tell people this about my quick little fact, is that when you feel rejected, they've done these studies about using Tylenol because Tylenol is supposed to suppress, well, it's supposed to ease pain.
Mm.
But it actually works on those two parts of your brain region that are activated during pain, so the DACC and the IA. So when you take Tylenol for pain, it kind of zones in on those parts of your brain. And they've done studies for when people are simulating social rejection. And they found that when those people who were actually taking the Tylenol instead of a sugar pill, they felt more at ease after that interaction.
Wow.
So the next time that you may want, that you may feel a little bit of a pang of social rejection or just being rejected in general, try it out.
Yeah. Yeah, we've talked on this show before about how sometimes our emotions can actually manifest into physical feelings. And kind of like, even if you think about the expression, oh, it's a punch to the gut, you know,
yeah,
that's about something that's more emotional, but it's bringing it into this physical realm because that's, I think, first of all, how we are able to better conceptualize things like pain, but also sometimes it actually feels like that, you know?
The biggest thing I learned when I started learning more about neuroscience was just how your brain works. So when something happens to you, your brain is just at the epicenter of your any of your human experiences. So getting punched is sending signals to your brain. It's not like this physical action is just like hitting you and then that's what you feel. It's your brain registering that, if that makes sense.
Mm.
So with the idea that rejection is activating those same parts of your brain that is related to physical pain, it literally means that your brain is registering this almost as the same thing.
Wow.
So that's why we feel, it feels like we're in pain.
Yeah.
I feel like rejection and a lot of sadness can be very hard to verbally explain to people because it just you feel it so much.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have that concept that it's really just in your brain, it's the parts of your brain that are being activated for reasons that we'll get into later on.
Mm-hmm.
Like that is the feeling. It's
yeah.
the same. It's almost the same thing, which is so cool.
Yeah. And it connects too to what we were saying earlier about once you've been rejected, you're not very likely to put yourself in that same position of being rejected again, just in the same way as you wouldn't stub your toe and then immediately keep banging your toe on this thing because your brain is like, that hurt. Get away from that thing that just hurt you. Don't
right.
do that again.
Yeah, there's a lot of research done as to why this aspect of our like brain neurology is this way. And I think that there's a lot of different hypotheses about this, but I do have a favorite one, and it's the one that I'm going to try to explain to everyone because it does make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. So the idea behind rejection is that being socially rejected in our ancestry was almost like it was a death sentence.
Mm.
So thinking to the times in which we were in very like small groups of people, small tribes of people, mm-hmm. we all depended on one another. Humans function very poorly by themselves, and the reasons why we've been able to progress so well have been because we are really good at working in groups. So the idea here was that if you were going to be socially rejected and you were ousted from the group, that meant you had to go and survive on your own. And usually individuals did not survive very well on their own. So the hypothesis that a lot of researchers have kind of come to the conclusion of is that we have put these, we progressed to have these like warning signals in our head that are very close to physical pain signals. To warn us, hey, you're about to get rejected.
Oh, wow.
You need to fix this behavior.
Mm.
Because if you don't, you are going to be ousted from this group.
That's really interesting.
And so it makes a lot of sense, right? Like humans want connection and they want like bonding. And when we lose out on that, it almost feels like we're losing out on like a survival mechanism or just like a part of us, because people love connection. People love relationships. This is like half of the stuff we talk about on this podcast is how much people want connection with one another. So there's all these like built-in mechanisms to make sure that you can maintain those connections. And now you can kind of think about it, what we were talking about a little bit in the intro, is that when we feel rejection and it hurts so bad, we want to kind of look at that a little bit and be like, okay, what can I change?
Mm-hmm.
Which unfortunately now has really led us into feeling more like individual of like, I'm such a bad person. I did this thing. I need to fix this thing, which in and of itself is maladaptive. But it makes sense why these mechanisms have kind of started.
Right. And it's interesting, too, when I think about rejection, I think about it obviously in modern terms where rejection for me nowadays would mean I don't get to further my career, or I don't get to try out a relationship with this person, or I don't get to be this person's friend. But thinking about it long, long time ago, it meant a very different thing. And it meant like potentially not being able to survive and not having the resources that you would have access to when you're part of this larger group that you really do need for survival. So to think that at least there's this theory that why it's so painful for us now is because this was almost like a life or death thing. Like if you get rejected from this group, like you may not survive this, is really, really interesting. Have you found any studies to suggest that people's identities impact the way that they respond to rejection?
Yeah, so I think that there's a lot of stereotyping that a lot of it can also be true in terms of how men and women respond to rejection. I'd just like to do a little bit of a preface because we do talk a lot about psychological studies on this podcast. And when we talk about gender differences, unfortunately, the realm of psychology does not progress along with society. So a lot of this is a very big binary of cis men and cis women. I just want to give that little preface because we do talk this specific study that I read and a lot of the research I did was talking a lot about men and women and romantic rejection between them.
Okay.
So I think that the stereotypes that we have a lot for women and also what we've observed is that when women are rejected, they feel a lot more self-hatred and a lot of blaming of themselves, whereas men tend to blame the other person that is rejected, most likely a woman. And I think in the past, there's been this argument that men and women are so different and we're just like neurologically, we have different brains. And that's not true. Like the differences between a man and a woman are fewer than between two women. So a lot of the differences that we do see in the behaviors of men and women have more to do with the way that they've been socialized.
Right.
We think about how women tend to respond to rejection in a more self-blaming manner, and then for men taking it more as an affront to their masculinity. What I kind of felt when I was reading this was that both sides are responding in a way of feeling less adequate.
Right.
In terms of men, they were more likely to respond in a lot more aggression, whereas women tended to respond in a lot more like self-soothing tactics. And I think that this is really just a portrayal of what kind of tools we give to both men and women when they are experiencing this type of life event of being rejected. Women tend to have higher social support systems that make them able to go to other people to work on themselves, whereas men aren't always given that, and their masculinity is seen as something that is so important to them, and they feel as if they need to protect that, which then kind of turns into what I believe is why a lot of them become more aggressive.
Yeah, even when you think about this very much cliche experience of a man going and hitting on a woman and her saying, hey, I'm not really interested, and him immediately turning around and saying, well, you are ugly anyways.
I know.
Because again, and it comes back to that vulnerability thing. But instead of him saying what is authentically on his mind, of his feelings of, oh man, like, that's really disappointing, I was really into you, like, you know, instead it's jumping to this aggressive tactic. And what you were saying is, I don't think that we make it normalized for men to go to their friends and talk to them about what's going on and talk to them about, oh, I'm feeling really sad or disappointed by this thing.
Right.
That's a lot more normalized for people who are socialized as women.
Right. And, you know, the research really backs it up. Like, I read a study from Werner and some of her colleagues that men who had this like high sexual dominance and positive perceptions of themselves were more likely to aggressively respond to a woman when they were rejected. And that like concept was mediated by the fact if they had a negative or like a hostile portrayal of that woman. So let's say hypothetically in this situation, if they had more positive views on this woman, so say it's a friend or someone that was deemed very highly in society, they may not have responded as aggressively as they would if they had these more negative portrayals of this woman. So I don't know, that this woman might have led him on, or she was dressed in a certain way. I'm not saying that these are excuses for men to feel this way.
Right.
It's more how men are perceiving this situation. And so a lot of this research has spoke about how changing the perceptions that men have about being rejected and changing their perceptions of women can actually help this process.
Yeah. And I think like normalizing rejection in the sense of like what we were saying earlier of there are two parties involved. You can't control the other side of things as much as you wish you could. And giving people healthy coping mechanisms to deal with rejection, so it's not this slap in the face. It's not, and also having respect for that person that, like, let's say in the romantic sense, you really admired and you wanted to pursue. Also just having that like baseline respect for that person of, I'm going to put myself out there. I'm going to tell you how I'm feeling. If you don't feel the same and if you don't want this, I would never want to surpass those boundaries. And I'm going to respect the answer that you give me either way.
Yeah. I think that there needs to be this balance of how we teach people to be rejected. Because on the other end, there was a lot of research done on women who were rejected. And a lot of those women that were rejected tended to be more susceptible to people coming after the rejection and letting them take advantage of them. And they were also a lot more likely to lower their previously stated standards for romantic relationships. So there's like this really opposite reaction that it was honestly making me really sad when I was reading this research, because I feel like I've experienced that before, where right after you've been rejected, you feel really lonely and you feel really hurt, and all you can do is think about, like, well, someone else needs to give this to me. So, like, I think about, like, being rejected socially and how in times that I've been rejected socially, I felt really, really sad and so alone that any other group that's willing to take me in, I would just, like, go with them.
Right.
Whether I agreed with what those groups of friends did, whether they even did things I was interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that can also happen a lot in romantic relationships where someone's self-esteem is really hurt. So they may go to someone that shows some romantic interest in them just so they can, like, mend this pain that they've just experienced. But that person may not even be someone they want to be with.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. And I was feeling really sad as you were explaining this. And I think, too, I've heard of a lot of really devastating events that have been born out of rejection, particularly on the side of men's aggression to the point of violence and, like, some shootings that have happened because not only has a man faced rejection, but he doesn't have the coping skills to deal with it. He doesn't have the ability to, like, talk to someone or vent because that just wasn't how he was socialized. And when it's getting to the point where a romantic rejection is having this trickle-down effect so that this man is literally killing people, that is an issue.
Yeah.
And we need to change it, and we need to be giving people resources, and we need to be normalizing expressing emotions.
Toxic masculinity is, like, a worldwide issue,
and it
is not being taken seriously.
And it's deadly.
It's deadly. It's hurting people.
Yeah.
And, you know, that is an extreme, obviously. But what we're seeing here is that we just have two almost, like, polar opposite responses that both need to be mended in some way. And a lot of that is talking and dealing with rejection, helping, like, change people's perspectives of what rejection means, but also what another human being is, and like letting people have autonomy in their lives.
Yeah, well said. We're going to take a short break, and we're actually going to get a lot more into what we were just talking about now about not only how to deal with rejection on your own, but also some ways that you can politely reject others, because I think that we will always find ourselves on one side or the other when things don't work out. We'll be right back after this break.
Old or New Testament?
I think the New Testament.
The question is, Pilate. Remember Pilate from the New Testament?
What does Pilate? He fiddled while...
Yeah, no, well, just a minute. Let me ask the question, then you can give me the answer, okay? Did Pilate want Jesus to be crucified?
Pontius Pilate washed his hands of it.
So did he want him to be crucified?
Yeah.
No. No. No.
Well, tune in every Friday afternoon, 3:30 to the Nightwatch Show on Virginia.
Well, find a good church. It'll help you.
And we're back. You're listening to Therapy Hour on CITR 101.9 FM. So when we left you, we talked a little bit about the negative implications that we've seen rejection have on all types of people. Because, you know, rejection is something that lots of people, almost everyone, is going to face at some point. And I think it's really important that as much as we talk about the negative effects of what rejection can do to a whole cohort of people, it's also really important to talk about how we can handle rejection in some capacity. So, Violet, do you have any ideas or tips on how to deal with rejection when it happens to you?
Yeah, I think that how to deal with this idea of rejection can really depend on the type of rejection that you face. Obviously, we've gone over the fact that there are lots of different types of rejection. There's romantic rejection, and it's obviously very different from being rejected from a university program or a job. but I tried to put together a little bit of a list of things that have helped me, and also kind of like looking to the internet a little bit to see what ideas were out there that could kind of apply for things across the board. Mm-hmm. And I found that a lot of them were very similar to the coping mechanisms that we kind of came up with when we were talking about envy and how to deal with feelings of envy, which was very interesting.
Yeah.
And kind of a good reminder that even if your negative feelings feel very different from one another, ways of dealing with them and coping with them can work kind of across the board.
Mm-hmm.
So first things first is you just want to allow yourself to feel those bad feelings as hard as it is. It's totally okay to kind of wallow in it for a little bit. Like I talked about when I faced that rejection, I literally stayed up all night sobbing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was good. I needed to get that out. Suppressing yeah. that, again, doesn't do anyone any good.
No.
And then following that, letting yourself have some distance from the situation as well. Jumping right back into things doesn't really give yourself the time to process, first of all, what you're feeling and also like what you want to do moving forward. So if you're in a position, if you're around a particular person, or if you've gone for a raise or something at your job, letting yourself, like, even if you just go for a walk or something and have some distance from that situation or that person can be really good if you have the ability to.
I was going to say that taking time, especially in terms of romantic rejection, I've definitely felt that taking some time and advocating for yourself where you don't need to be around this person, you don't need to force yourself to be in social situations with them just to prove to anyone you feel better.
Yeah.
Because sometimes a little bit of distance can do a lot. It can mm-hmm. do great wonders. And
yeah.
I've definitely felt guilty for making that decision before, but I think it was a really important one to heal mm-hmm. myself personally.
Yeah.
So I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, and when we talk about, you know, being romantically interested in a friend, for example, and then facing that rejection, coming back and immediately trying to be that person's friend sometimes is not the best because you're not showing up in the way that you would want to if you do want to keep this friendship, because
right.
maybe you're feeling bitter, you're feeling embarrassed, and that's not bringing out the best version of yourself.
Yeah.
So just giving yourself some time to do that. The other thing I was thinking of is just believing the person who's rejected you. I think this is especially important in terms of romantic rejection, but respecting that choice to reject you and working on accepting that outcome of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
I think in rom-coms, we've really learned to root for the person who's trying in the relationship. And that's perfectly fine when we're signing on to a romantic movie. But in real
right.
life, the other person has agency and they don't owe you being in a relationship with you, or, you know, like they have their own wants, their own desires. And as hard as it is to accept, you do have to accept it and you
yeah.
do have to respect it. And you really can't be pressuring them to change their mind on that decision.
Right.
The next thing is, and I think we've talked about this a little bit throughout the episode, but just spending time with the people who love you, spending time with friends and family
yeah.
and therapy. I know when I was thinking about times of being rejected, all I wanted to do was run in the opposite direction because I was so embarrassed
yeah.
and I didn't want to be judged, and I'm already feeling inadequate. I'm already feeling like I'm not good enough. And so admitting to people, hey, I tried to do this thing and I got rejected from it, even though I know in theory my friends aren't going to be judging me for that, my family, my loved ones aren't going to be judging me for that, they're going to be supporting me, they're going to be there for me, I'm feeling that kind
yeah.
of almost like self-hatred so much
yeah.
that I think that the people in my life will also be projecting that on right back onto me.
Yeah. Well, you're really just looking at what other people, what you think other people are thinking about you is really, I think, honestly, just what you think of yourself in
mm-hmm.
that moment. And I do think it's a really, really good idea to reach out to the people around you, because I've done it before where I've been rejected and I just don't talk to anyone about it. I sometimes haven't even told people.
Yeah.
And it is so much harder to go through that alone.
Yeah.
I feel like the times that I used to keep all of that a secret or try to portray that everything was fine. But then I was given like those few opportunities to talk to someone about it. You really start to realize that the people that are in your life are there for you.
Yeah.
When you're by yourself, you can make up whatever narrative you want to make up.
Yeah.
But if you're actually able to go to a friend and sit there and say, this hurt. Mm-hmm. I'm upset about this.
Yeah.
They've probably experienced something like this. They can help you. Mm-hmm. But I also really get it. It's so hard sometimes because you're just sitting there like, everyone is just going to know that I'm not a lovable and wanted person. It's just not the truth.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we do tell ourselves a lot of stories, and sometimes it just takes us, which obviously after being rejected, you're not really wanting to be super vulnerable necessarily.
No.
But it gives you the opportunity to have someone say like, hey, it's going to be okay. And sometimes you can't tell yourself that. It also lets you vent. It lets you go through alternative scenarios. It lets you vocalize your thoughts with a trusted person. And the right people in your life will be there and be supportive and be understanding, and they want you to succeed. They're rooting for you.
Absolutely.
So giving yourself that opportunity to receive that support. Another big thing is remembering not to equate your self-worth to whatever particular situation has caused this rejection.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't do any good. Sometimes it can feel that way. Sometimes it can feel like without this job opportunity or without this romantic experience or whatever, like, I'm not good enough, I won't be able to succeed. And it's just cruel and it's just not true. And instead, you can kind of take it and shape it into a learning experience.
Yeah.
So you can think about, you know, oh, well, what could I do better next time when I apply for a job? Can I improve my resume? Can I build on my skills if this is like kind of the career path that I want to take? And I think taking something away from that experience of rejection can really help you feel like that experience was actually worthwhile, even if it was really painful.
Yeah, for sure.
And then, yeah, what we were kind of talking about earlier of believing that rejection can happen for good reason, and the fact that you wouldn't want to be in a relationship with someone who wasn't interested in you, or you wouldn't want to struggle with a job that's not the right fit for you, or you wouldn't want to be friends with people who don't want to be friends with you.
Yeah.
As much as it hurts and as much it might take a little while to get to that place, I think if you can get to a place where you eventually see it from that perspective, it can be really helpful.
Yeah.
And then the last thing is just to think back to a time when you rejected someone else and think about, like, did you hate that person? Were you disgusted by them? Like, probably not.
Definitely
it was probably
not.
A lot more of a soft emotion. And try your best, again, as hard as it is, to be applying that to the situation that you're in currently. Try and see the other side of things. Try and see, remember how you felt when you had to reject someone and the fact that it really wasn't coming from a cruel or malicious place.
Yeah, and I think one other thing I just want to add to anyone that's listening is that you can also just be kind to yourself. And I think that so often with rejection for myself, I feel like I have to take all these steps and I need to like figure out how to get rid of this feeling because the feeling is just so terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that comes in the form of doing certain steps and doing a lot of reflection, which I think is really, really great. I also think that giving yourself some time to just do something you like. I find that every time I've been rejected, I've learned to do the things I enjoy. So like, go and hang out with my friends and just not talk about it.
Yeah.
And then go spend $8 on my favorite dirty chai somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do the things that are also going to make
yourself.
You feel you good. The thing is, like, obviously distraction can only help you so much. And I think I've really had to learn that threshold. But be forgiving. Also, sometimes rejection, that feeling of rejection is not going to go away sometimes. Sometimes it's going to stick with you for a very long time. And I hope that the tips that we've been able to kind of put on is something that people can look back on and try different things out. And also, if those are not the things that can help you or you're still feeling sad, that's also okay.
Right.
Like, go to your, please just go to your friends. I'm begging every single person that's listening to this, please, please, please realize that this is not embarrassing and the people around you want to help you. Mm-hmm. And even if it's just to sit with someone and have a bit of a cry, do that.
Yeah, you don't have to deal with it alone.
No.
And also, therapy is always an option, too.
Yes.
When there are big rejections and it's really crushing, even when you think about the end of, like, a long-term relationship, like,
yeah,
therapy is such a good option for that. And our free therapy sessions are really great, but it's a kind of a one-sided conversation. So
we can't hear you from the other side as much as we want to.
That option is out there, too. Do you have any tips for how to politely reject others, Holly?
Yes. So I think that there's a lot of ways how you shouldn't reject people, as we've been learning about.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the first thing that comes to my mind when we talk about bad ways of rejecting others, it is ghosting, which we've talked about a little bit on the show before. But ghosting, in some ways, makes a lot of sense. I'm not forgiving the ghosters in the world. I think what they've done is usually not the best. But it makes a lot of sense sometimes where rejecting someone, being the person that's rejecting someone, can also be really weird and difficult.
Yeah.
Especially if you like this person, or maybe you just don't see anything too wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So you just, like, take the easy way out, which is either you fully ghost someone that you're maybe talking to, or you just start becoming really avoidant and, like, try to separate yourself, which I am very guilty of doing before. Like, in the past, like, I've done this thing of, like, I don't know how to confront this person that I'm having some issues with them, or that I may not want to be their friend, or I may not want to date them, whatever. So I have started to just, like, bring myself out of that. And I think in some ways, when you're talking about friendships, sometimes that can be a way you can do things, because I don't think everything needs to be a confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
I find myself to be quite, in terms of social situations, to be somewhat self-aware, and I can kind of tell when someone doesn't really want to spend time with me, and I usually take that as my, like, cue to steer away. But I also don't think that's the healthiest way to do things. So I think that one thing is that have a healthy conversation with this person. Hopefully there's an opportunity to have that conversation. This is much more in, like, the social slash relationship rejection realm. But I think having a mature and communicative conversation, and also, if you want to continue being this person's friend, say that.
Mm-hmm.
And if this is a breakup and you don't really want to continue a friendship, say that.
Yeah.
Be honest with this person and let there be time. It also, one, doesn't have to be one conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be 20 minutes or an hour or whatever. Take as much time as you need.
Mm-hmm.
Flesh out both sides, because both of you are involved in whatever type of relationship this is.
Mm-hmm.
And communicate as politely and as clearly as you can as to why you are making this decision, and then what you want to do moving forward.
Yeah.
The other thing that I'll say in terms of more of, like, a quote-unquote friend-zoning situation is that when you are deciding to reject someone, but they're going to be in your friend group or you want to keep them around as a friend, you have to accept that it's going to be weird for a little bit. It's going to be a bit uncomfortable. I think no one will experience that as a 100% we're good the next time we see one another. But I think it's really important to sit in that uncomfortability and make attempts to try to ease that awkwardness, but also live in it.
Yeah, I think that in terms of the ghosting thing that you were talking about, I have very strong feelings about ghosting. I understand why it happens, and I understand that it's coming from this place of, ooh, this is going to be a really hard conversation, and I don't want to have it, so let me just send a message by not sending a message.
Yes.
But I think it's so disrespectful, especially when you're involved with someone. It just doesn't, it's not fair to them, and it doesn't let them have closure, and it doesn't bring them into your world and let them know what you're thinking about. So it's really unfair do not be ghosting people, really. Please don't be ghosting people.
Please, we're begging you.
And the other thing that I would say when you are rejecting someone is to be kind, but be honest.
Yes.
I find a lot of times people will try and give excuses for why they're rejecting to kind of soften the blow. I've done that before, but it doesn't really do anyone any good. If someone is interested in you and you want to reject them because you're not interested in them back, you're not attracted to them, let's say, instead of saying, oh, I'm just really busy, like I can't go out on a date this week, whatever, it just prolongs what ultimately is happening. You need to be honest with that person and say, I'm really flattered, but I'm really not interested. I don't see you that way. You're just cutting to the chase. It's going to be painful for them either way. Just tell them how it is. Yeah. As kindly as you possibly can.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that being on either side of rejection is just never going to be a fun time. And the weird thing is we do find ourselves on both sides of rejection throughout our lives, which is, yeah, it's really interesting. And it can make things easier sometimes. It can make you understand how to handle these situations a bit better. But no matter what, these aren't going to be fun situations. When I've been on the side of being rejected or when I've been on the side of rejecting others, I am not having a fun time whatsoever.
No. And I think either way, we've understood and hopefully we've been able to teach you a little bit in this episode why rejection is so painful. And inevitably, humans don't want to be alone. We don't want to be lonely. We want to feel supported by our friends or by the people around us, and we want to feel accepted. And I think at least having that mindset a little bit of whether you're going into a position of rejecting someone or being put in a position where you will be rejected, having the mindset that, one, this is a very human response and this is makes a lot of sense why you're in pain, and also having maybe some tips as to, one, how to deal with it, and two, to be a nice and respectful person when you're trying to reject someone, can really help you move forward and make rejection not as bad as it could be, and in some ways not as dangerous as it could be as well.
Totally. On that note, that perfectly transitions us into our homework for this week, which is to think back to a time when you got rejected. And after everything that we've said in this episode, consider the other side of things. Can you see things a little bit different? Can you be a little bit kinder to yourself this time around thinking about that rejection? And we hope that you might even use some of the coping mechanisms that we've given you in this episode the next time you experience rejection.
Well, folks, this has been your free therapy session for this week. We're your hosts. I'm Halle.
I'm Violet, and this is Therapy Hour, because everybody needs therapy.
But not everyone can afford it. Thank you so much for listening this week. We'll see you back in 2 weeks when we're going to be talking about some of our favorite pastimes. Gossiping. See you soon.